First half, very poor. I think we showed a lack of resilience, especially in the last 15 minutes. Second half, I thought we had a response. There was a point in the game where it started to swing a little bit, but it wasn't for long enough. Even when we attacked well and turned the ball over, there still wasn't enough resilience defensively, but overall still a lot of effort and commitment, just not enough quality.
Dan Russell was in the 21. How close was he?
Yes, we dropped out Mick on our last training session. We did the warm-up and we did an attacking drill to start the session, and Dan's pulled himself straight out. We just knew he wasn't up to it with his ribs, so yeah, it was touch and go.
What was it like for you? Someone asked me at half-time, what does Kurt do? You know, when you've got 14 first-team players out, you're battling that adversity, you know, what have you had to do this week?
Oh, good question. Make and believe. I've got to make them believe no matter who plays where, we can still win. We can still compete. We can still score points. So that's been my job this week, to still make them believe they can win games.
You spoke about rewarding the 3,500 fans that were in that stand to the left. Did you feel that you've rewarded them somewhere?
I do in the second half. I felt like we let them down in the first half. We didn't do enough for them in the first half. But second half, we showed resilience, toughness and a bit of class in there.
What was it you spoke about at half-time in the first?
Yeah, it's probably for behind closed doors, that one, Mick. It was a pretty tough team talk, if I'm really honest. It's not often I lose it with the group. We had some really difficult conversations in there, and they responded fantastically, like they always do. But we'll never make excuses for people out of position, ever.
I know we touched upon it earlier. It did look like Tom Graham did apologise to Joe Mellor after, you know, he blew the whistle a bit earlier. I know it's small crumbs have come from.
Yeah, that's noble of him.
I guess it's when you're not getting, you know, it feels like we have the Ethan Ryan, they'll try and catalogue, it feels like you're just not getting any rubber the green ever looks.
I know, but what's frustrating, Mick, is if it comes down to that defining moment in the game, I'd be a lot more calculated on what I'm saying here. But ultimately, when we concede so many points, it kind of gets lost in translation. So even though the referee's got it wrong, there's still a lot of things we've got wrong before we can look at what he's done.
Ethan Ryan, 2 tries, I think that takes it to his 100th for his Bradford career. Special proud moment for him,
or do you? Yeah, for sure. He's a fantastic player. He's a fantastic member of our squad. He's somebody who's fell into a leadership role. And he's been showing his class at times this year. There's still a lot of his game that he needs to work on, but ultimately he cares about playing for his hometown club, and I think he shows that week in, week out.
What do you feel your team will have learned from playing a very ruthless Leeds side who, never really gave up?
I just think it's learning in the moment how to concentrate, executing the little plays in the moment, because we showed we can execute enough, but when it's in the fine detail of the moment, when Leeds are defending well, how do we execute how we want to play when it's not quite on our terms? So it's just the fine details. For example, last play, not kicking the ball out on the full kickoff, not kicking out, the fine detail, which is so simple, but when you're under fatigue, when you're under stress, you know, you sometimes make the wrong decisions, and we're just making too many of them.
Just finally from me, Mitch Souter, Leon Ruin, Jack O'Monroy recalled after a few weeks out. What's your thoughts and assessments on their performances?
Yeah, again, they've come in, they've serviced the team, they've done a good job. I think what it shows, Mick, is how fit they are. So when you've not been playing elite rugby and you come in and you can play either, whether it be 20 minutes or window and play 60 minutes, they have to be fit. We train at a very high intensity. You know, I don't let them get away with much. So when they do play, they have to be ready to play. And I think that just shows a sign of how hard they work being back in the team.
Kurt, just with obviously Leeds in the first half, pretty relentless. Is that really hard for the players to reset and concentrate when they just keep banging at the line? It was constant back-to-back sets. How hard was that for you guys to cope with in the first half?
Yeah, it's very difficult. So it tests your resilience as a group, it tests your resilience as a defensive team, but at times we just didn't get it right. We showed that we can turn up. We did a lot of work this week around Leeds scoring on last plays. They scored a hell of a lot of tries on last plays, and still they've got us. So we've worked for the entirety of the set, but the very last play, either a rebound or deflection, and you can call it luck, but when you have more people in the picture, the majority of the time you win their moments, and they win their moments because teams like mine at the moment switch off for that one play and they get you.
You mentioned Guy going in the back row, and I did think he put in some really crucial tackles and did a decent job. He's a workhorse, he'll always graph you up. When he plays a boy, I guess still bits of his bombs you're fairly pleased.
Yeah, again, we have a fantastic group. Wherever I ask them to play, they put their hand up and they try. Guy didn't get everything right, but ultimately it was never through a lack of effort. He actually showed us some moments structurally that he could defend there positionally, which is it's probably a really impressive of Guy being able to step up there and play though. He's a big body, so you'd think he'd be able to struggle double defending, but he did a great job.
With Elliot, I'll just put that, he went off with a head knock and he wasn't very well. He did well to get as long as he did, I guess.
I probably should have played him, but I had young Alfie Leake as 18th man, who has no idea at what this level looks like yet, and plus I can't put him in the back row, so we had to try and get as much out of Elliot as we could, and we did. You know, we maximised the kid to his capacity, especially under sickness. He wouldn't tell me he was sick, it was the doc who had to tell me. But yeah, it was just so difficult.
And obviously Leon, he took him off towards the end as he last up. Is he okay, or have you got no back rows left now at this point?
I think it was more cramp. Yeah. So again, Leon's not played this level for a long time, and I've been trying to convert Leon from the back row to the middle. So to ask him to play back row again today at this level, in this magnitude of game, it caught up with him.
And just for yourself, it drops you to second bottom of a heavy defeat, but there are four teams on 10 points. You still feel that you're very much looking up and not let only drop to there. It's pretty tight down
the box. Yeah, this game won't derail us. We'll keep scrapping as we have done from day one.
And do you feel you took a lot from this game into that Huddersfield game, which is sort of, it is the bottom two now, but that feels like a game that you really can take into a non-free going both for its favourites.
Yeah, we've just got to value the cycle a little bit more. The set for set and the grind, we value that more, we'll win the game.
This is West Yorkshire Rugby League Radio with Mick the Game Caller Gledhill.